Yes, it's working now.
Well, I see something moving, yeah, something.
Yes, that's the way it's supposed to be turning, right. Okay, Mr. Lee, when were you born?
July 28, 1899.
1899. What part of China did your family come from?
From the Canton area.
What part of Canton? What district or? Do you know whether it's Samyup or, I mean,
Samyup.
Say it, whether it was Sunbury, Toisan.
Yeah, Toisan.
Toisan. How long have you, has your family been in the States?
Well, my father came over. He was 72 when he passed away in 1922, and he passed away at the age of 72. So you would have to go back 72 years from 1922. And then take another 16 years, because he came over when he was 16 years old.
What did he come over to the States to do?
To work.
Where did he work?
Well, when he first came over, he worked in private families. The ladies would teach him how to do housework and cook, and that's where he learned how to cook, and eventually he became a family cook.
A family cook in Chinese households?
No,
or
in American households.
Uh-huh.
And then he lived in San Francisco for several years, and then he came down to Los Angeles, and he worked for several of the old pioneer American families in Los Angeles area, like the Van Nuys and the Lancashires.
When he came over to the States, was his original intention to earn money and then return to China?
Yes, that probably was the main reason for most of the Chinese coming over here, that they heard that this chance to get employment over in this country, and most of them saved up some money and eventually went back to China, either for a visit or to try to bring some of their family over.
And so what did he eventually do?
Well, my father, after he came down to Los Angeles, I worked several years, and then he saved up a little money, and then he decided he wanted to get married. So he contacted a mission home in San Francisco that was operated by an American church, and they had a mission school at night where they taught where Chinese could go to learn English, and they also had something like a orphanage for Chinese girls that were brought over, young girls that were brought over by different people for ulterior motives. And so the mission heard about it, and they whenever they could, they would sort of rescue these girls as soon as they arrived in San Francisco and place them in this homes, so where they would be cared for and protected. And my father, when he applied to this mission, told them that he would like to get married, and so after they checked his record about him and found that he was all right for one of the girls to marry, then he married one of the girls that was raised in the mission home. My mother came over and she was about 4 or 5 years old, and she doesn't remember too much about her early early years, but that's how my father and mother met.
Your mother is also Toisan?
My mother was born in a village called Wong Pu, which is closer to Canton than where my father was born.
Mm-hmm. And you said that your father worked as a cook. Do you remember roughly how much he earned?
No, I don't. I don't remember that he ever told us that. And then after working as a family cook, then he saved some money and opened in those days they called them a curio store, which is similar to what today they call gift shops or a store where they sell mostly Oriental goods and articles.
When and where did he open that shop?
Well, he had several locations. The first time he opened, I think it was on North Main Street, near Temple, and then the second time he moved to a place on Spring Street, and then the last place was down on East 3rd Street. I think the number was 136 East 3rd Street. That's between Main Street and Los Angeles Street. And that's where several children were born. Among them was myself. I was born there on July 28, 1899. And we lived there until 1907. When we moved to a house at 1322 South Hill Street. And we lived at that address from 1922 until 1928. And then we moved to by that time my mother moved to a house on West 57th Street, and in the meanwhile the family had sort of scattered. Some couple of girls got married and I was married, so we had our own homes, and my mother lived alone in a house that she bought on West 57th Street.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Well, originally there was 10 children in the family, five boys and five girls, and I was the youngest boy. In the meantime, the four brothers have passed on, and two of my sisters have also passed away. So now there's myself and three sisters that are still remain of the family.
Can you tell a little bit about what your brothers and sisters did?
Well, my oldest brother, Harry, he graduated from the University of California in 1913 as a civil engineer. And after he graduated, he came home to Los Angeles and took the civil service examination, and he passed the examination with the highest marks, and got a job with the Los Angeles City Engineering Department. And he started in as a draftsman at the salary of $78 a month. And he worked until he passed away in 1928. And at the time that he passed away, he was the assistant engineer in the storm drain division of the engineering department.
And some of your sisters, what were they involved in?
My sisters, my oldest sister, she was She worked with a dressmaker and designer, because her hobby was sewing. And the second sister, I don't remember her doing any work, because she was the first one to get married. And I think she married when she was around 18. And the other, the third and fourth sisters, they also worked at different places, mostly connected with the garments. They worked in the button factories, and also as seamstress. And then the youngest sister, Laura, she graduated from UCLA she became a teacher, an art teacher. And then she worked for a short while in Los Angeles, and then she got married to a Honolulu fellow, and they moved over to Honolulu, and she taught several years in the Honolulu school system, and then she retired from teaching, and she still lives in Honolulu.
And how about some of your other brothers?
Two of my, the second brother and the third brother, and also the fourth brother, they were living in China. My father sent them back to China to go to Chinese school.
When was that?
I don't remember the years, because I was being the youngest boy. I don't remember seeing my second brother, third brother, because they probably were away when I was old enough to realize, because I don't remember seeing them around the house. And when I went back to China in 1910 with an uncle for a visit, I saw the two brothers at the school that they were attending.
What school did they attend?
Well, I don't know the name of the school, but the school was in a village or a small city called Sunningxiang.
Where is that in Canton, or?
Yeah, that's in Canton, near Toisan.
Uh-huh.
They were attending school there they went there for about 8 or 9 years.
Really?
And then in the meantime, the fourth brother, he had taken sick and he had passed away in China. And then then later on, the two brothers, the second brother and the third brother, they eventually came back to Los Angeles, and they were married. The second brother had one daughter from his marriage, and the third brother had a son and a daughter. And the two brothers since then passed away, and the children are living here in the Los Angeles area.
What kinds of jobs did your brothers have after they came back from China?
They really didn't have too much work to do, because they were in China all that time, just going to Chinese school, so they actually weren't trained for anything in particular. So when they came back over here, they also got jobs with private families.
Also doing house cleaning and cooking?
Doing housework and cooking. And that's what they did up to the time that they passed away.
Do you remember roughly what their pay was for doing domestic work?
No, I don't. I don't know what their pay was, but of course way back in those days, wages were very, very low compared with what today's standard is.
Were they live-in domestic help?
Yes, at that time, all domestic help lived in those days.
In your family, who was the head of the household? Was it pretty much your father or your mother?
Well, I think my father was the head of the household.
What languages did you speak at home?
Well, at home we, when the children were all small, before they went to started going to school, they spoke mostly Chinese, and then after each child started to go to American schools, they learned English, and eventually they spoke more English than Chinese, and when they'd come home, and our mother and father would talk Chinese to us, we would answer them in English, and eventually some of our brothers and sisters just gradually forgot most of their Chinese because they were speaking English all the time. And so I think that was the main reason why my father had sent my three brothers back to China to go to Chinese school, so that they could learn more Chinese and not just speak English. But my sisters, none of them had a chance to go back to China, so they eventually they just spoke very little Chinese. They could understand, but they didn't know how to speak to answer in Chinese. They understood more than they could do the speech part of it.
Did any of your family attend Chinese school here in L.A. or here in other parts of California?
I attended Chinese school here in Los Angeles for about 4 years, but I don't remember any of my other brothers and sisters going to Chinese school.
When was that you attended?
I went to Chinese school, I believe it was during the years of 1910 to about 1914 or 15.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about your education, the dates, and you know, where you went to school?
Well, the first school I went to, so I was born on East 3rd Street between Los Angeles and Main Street. And the first school that my mother took me to was a Catholic school on the corner of 2nd Street and Los Angeles Street. And I went there for about a week or so, and then I told my mother that I didn't want to go to that school anymore. She asked me why, and I said, well, all the teachers, they have a long scrap hanging from their waist, and I said I was afraid that they would give me a licking someday with that strap. So she took me out of that school and took me to a public school called, at that time was called Boyd Street School, which was about 4 or 5 blocks from where we lived. And I attended that grammar school until the fourth or fifth grade when we moved to 1322 South Hill Street. Then I attended a grammar school on 6th, at that time it was called 16th Street, which today is called Venice Boulevard. And that grammar school was on 16th Street between Grand Avenue and Hill Street. And I attended that school until sixth grade. And then I went to what they called in those days intermediate school, which is similar to your junior high. I went to an intermediate school called 30th Street Intermediate School on 30th Street. And there I finished the 7th, 8th, and 9th grades, and then went to Polytechnic High School in, I think it was 1917. And I went there for 1 year, from the 10th grade to 11th grade, when I quit school.
At what age were you when you quit school?
I was, I think, 18.
Why did you quit school?
Oh, I don't know. I just didn't care much for school. And although my mother wanted me to follow in the footsteps of my older brother, who was a civil engineer. And I think the main reason I quit was that I had a friend that I palled around with, and we were both in the same class, and he decided to quit and go to work. And so after he quit school and got a job with a battery company, about three or 4 weeks after that, I decided I was going to quit too and find a job. And so that's what I did, even though my mother tried to encourage me to stay in school.
And so what happened after you quit school?
Well, and I found a job with a place that, in those days, they called them an auto blacksmith shop, where people that bought automobiles, if they wanted to have shock absorbers installed on their cars, why, they would have to do it themselves and take the cars to a place similar to this auto blacksmith shop where they would install these shock absorbers. And that's where I found a job, being what they called a blacksmith helper. The blacksmith did all the cutting of the steel and shaping the things to fit the car and so forth. And the helper, his job mainly was to stand by the blacksmith, and whenever the blacksmith wanted to cut a hot piece of iron, why, the helper would be the one to swing the 12-pound sledgehammer to cut the material. And I worked there for about 2 years, and with all that exercise, I got an enormous appetite. So we only lived about a block and a half from the shop. So I used to come home for lunch every day. And I ate so much during the lunch, because I had used up so much energy, that after a few months, my mother told me, says, "You better quit that job, because you eat more than you earn." I was getting $9 a week when I started, and when I quit, I was getting $12 a week. So finally, after almost 2 years, then I decided to quit.
And what next?
Well, then after that, I didn't do very much for a year or two. And then in 1922, my father passed away, and he had a reed and rattan business, and I just took over the business that my father was running.
What do you mean by reed and rattan business?
Well, in those days, the reed and rattan furniture were quite popular in this area, and there was probably half a dozen different manufacturers that used to manufacture reed and rattan furniture. And my father would import this reed and rattan from Hong Kong and then sell it to these different manufacturers. So I took over that business, and I stayed with it until about 27 or 28. And then in 29, and I got married in 28. In 1920, I got married, and then in 1929, my wife and I, we went down to Plexico in the Imperial Valley, which is right across from the Mexican border. And I invested some money in cotton farming in below Mexicali, which is called Baja California. At that time, there was quite a large number of Chinese in Baja California engaged in cotton farming. And so I invested some money in the cotton ranches. And then along came the 1930 Depression, which cotton prices dropped from 24 cents down to about 12 cents a pound. And of course, we all lost money when the Depression came. So then I drifted around a little while. We didn't have any job. So then eventually I came back to Los Angeles in 1932, I think it was. And then after that, at that time in 1932, there was quite a few of the motion picture studios making Chinese pictures at that time. And my wife told me, says, "You know this man that Tom Gubbins that was the agent to hire the people to work in pictures." So she said, "Why don't you go down to Chinatown and ask him, see if there's any work, and maybe you can get some work in motion pictures at least to tide us over." So I went down and saw this man, Tom Gubbins.
Tom Gubbins, he was not Chinese? Or?
No, he was one quarter Chinese.
Uh-huh.
He was born in Shanghai, but he was raised mostly in Hong Kong, and he spoke beautiful Cantonese, Chinese. And he was the agent that hired all the extras that worked in motion pictures. He hired the Chinese, the Japanese, Filipinos, all the Orientals. That whenever they needed Orientals, they would call him.
He had an office in Chinatown?
He had an office in Chinatown.
What was the name of his office or company?
It was called Tom Gubbins Asiatic Company.
Uh-huh.
And he had a art store, a curio store, at the same time he had his office in the store. And that's where the central casting, which is the office that all the major studios worked out of when they wanted extras, they would give the orders to central casting, and the central casting would call their different people to hire the extras. When it came to Orientals, they called Tom Gubbins, and then if they wanted Mexican people or Spanish-speaking people, then they had another fellow that would call those people, and so forth, the different nationalities. But now they don't have that anymore. Now I think everyone just calls into central casting to see whether there's any jobs.